Thanks for listening to the podcast from Jonathan Combs and the preaching team at Eastgate Community Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Check us out on the web at eastgate.church for more. And now, here's the sermon.
Y'all mind if I sit down here? I'm just a little bit tired. That stick thing beat me to death. If I can get all those little kids that just did all that wonderful singing, will y'all come up here and hang out with me for a minute? I want to chat with you for a second. I know you guys have all the wisdom, so I want to get the wisdom from you. Y'all look lovely today. Notice I put today on there, because some days, man, I don't know. Does anyone know where the story of Christmas is that we normally read from? Does anyone know? Anybody? Parents? Where do we normally read from, or where, like, think Charlie Brown's Christmas. Where is it read? Luke? That's one. What chapter? Luke chapter 2. Is that you right there? I don't know. I heard it in that zone, that region. Good job. Luke chapter 2. And so that's where the Christmas story, I mean, it's in other parts of the Gospels, but that's the one with the cool names like Quirinius and all those fun things. And so, are y'all ready to read with me? I'm going to read, actually. Y'all just have to listen. And I want you to listen to something. Notice who the angels invite to the party. It's really interesting. Jesus' first birthday party, when he's born, they invite some strange people. And so, let's listen in for just a second to Luke chapter 2. It says this: in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea. Can y'all say Judea for me? I'm having trouble. Man, my goodness gracious. To Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Cool story, right? That's the Christmas story. That's part of it. It goes on from there. Do y'all ever have birthday parties? Y'all had parties where you have people over to your house?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who do you normally invite to these kind of parties? Who do you invite? Your friends? Your family kind of has to come, right? You don't really worry about inviting them. Who else do you invite? Your friends? Family? Is there a
family?
Yeah, family, of course. Who do you invite?
Anna.
So you're coming to her party. I don't know. Okay. You're going to your own party. I don't know if she can come to your party. She's going to her own party. So, yeah, so we invite friends and family.
Cousins.
Yeah, extended family. That's who we invite to parties. Do we normally go out in the streets and just say, "Hey, I'm having a party. Who wants to come?"
No.
That's kind of unusual. Maybe some people do that, but I think probably not. And so for Jesus' birthday, an angel appeared to some random people, some smelly people out in a field. Some people like this strange person that might be coming through the side door right now. That is a sweet little lamb you've got there. So sweet. Yeah, so they went and got some shepherds. Did you hear that in the story? They didn't go and get Jesus' family or his friends. Well, he didn't have any friends yet, but they invited shepherds, and the shepherds were spooked. An angel appeared, and of course, every time an angel appears in the Word, you hear them immediately have to say, "Fear not." I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with an angel. I haven't, but I got a feeling it's a doozy. And so they invited a shepherd to the party. That's really cool, huh? It's really interesting. Why would they invite a shepherd, do you think? Why would they grab these people? Anybody have an idea? What do you think? They are very important. You feel important today? They are very important. Every person's really important, right? I think it's interesting that they invited shepherds to visit the Lamb of God. So, you know, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. Yeah. Yeah, to visit Jesus, who the Bible says is God's Lamb. And who are shepherds good at understanding and knowing? Lambs, goats, sheeps. They're good sheeps. I'm not sure that's correct. Sheep-eye. And they're responsible for picking out what they call the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb. It has to be a perfect lamb, unblemished, and they treat it really weird. You know what they do with that little baby lamb? They wrap it in swaddling clothes and put it in a manger. Does that sound familiar? That's what Jesus was, right? Because he's the Lamb of God. Yeah. The little baby got a little lamb? Might be so. We don't know for sure in the text, but it could be. Maybe he was fluffy like this little fella. You know what else, though? Guess who else is invited to Jesus' birthday party?
The three kings.
Yeah, they are invited by the star. But guess who else?
God and Jesus.
They were certainly invited to the party. Who else? Who's invited to the party? Let me read a verse for you again. I'll pop it back on the screen. Some of you can read. Chapter 2, verse 11. What does it say? Can somebody pop it up? Who can read that? Can you read it? Can you read it, Nate?
I can read.
Read it.
Read it.
Do you want to read it? Oh, man. Good job, buddy. Unto who?
Unto
you. So who's invited to the party?
Everybody.
Me. You. Guess what, adults? You're invited to the party. Y'all good to go? Y'all ready to come to Jesus' Christmas party? That's why we're here today, to celebrate Jesus together. And so, hey, kids, I've got a gift for you since you've done so well. The parents are going to love me for this. Love me. It may or may not be candy. Go see Miss Kendra and make your way back to your seats. I'm going to talk to your grown-ups for a minute. You're good now, buddy. Caleb, give Caleb a hand. He did so good. Flawless shepherding there, buddy. You got to watch out coming up to Eastgate. He's hardly ever here. He came up and volunteered to play, and I tasked him to do other things. You just got to be careful getting around me. All right, I want to take just a couple of moments and just talk to you about this Christmas story. I know for many of you, this is a story that you're familiar with. I imagine you're very familiar with it. Maybe you've read that passage 100 times. You're probably going to read it this year. My family around Christmas Eve normally reads that passage, and so you've probably seen it or heard it in some way many, many times. But I'm hoping today that you're going to get it with fresh eyes. I'm convinced that every time we read the Bible, God has something new to say. Even if we've read it 100 times, even my reading it today, I just see new things. The words jump off the page. And I want you to just see something. You are on the guest list. Today's title is The Guest List. And the good news is every single one of you in the room, every single one of our neighbors, everyone in the community, even those people you don't like so much, they're on the guest list. Jesus has invited all of them because the Bible says, for unto you. That's every one of us. That's me. That's you. We're on the guest list, and that's really good news. But the question is, have you accepted the invitation? I get invited to stuff all the time. I don't know if y'all do. I get invited to all kinds of stuff, and I don't always respond. If they give me an RSVP and it's somebody that I care about, I'll at least say, you know, I can or I can't go. But I don't respond to every invitation I get. I get invited to different seminars and all kinds of things that they think pastors should go to. And sometimes I don't respond to these things. We can do the very thing with this particular invitation that says, unto you is born this day. We can say, okay, that's cool news and all, but I'm not going to the party. And my hope today is you'll do like the shepherds did. Put yourself in their shoes for today, for this morning, as we go into the text. And what we're going to see is three ways to respond to God's invitation, to his invitation to come and see Jesus as Lord and Savior. So here we go. The first response to his invitation is this: hear it. I'm going to keep it simple today. Even you little guys, even you little people, you can get this one. Because guess what? The adults aren't all that intelligent. Don't worry. If you can get it, they can get it. Because sometimes we think we're real smart, but you know, the gospel is kind of simple in one way. And step one in responding to it is to hear it. To hear it. To not have closed heart, closed mind, closed off to what God is trying to say to you. Notice what happens in verses 10 and 11. These shepherds are on the scene. The thing has already occurred. Jesus has been born. And angels appear saying, hey, come check it out. Come see what's happened in Bethlehem. And they come and they respond. Now, we don't always get that kind of invitation, I'll be honest. We don't normally get an angel on the high moment. But we get an invitation. We get one here right in the text. Now, I'm curious, do any of you ever start giving instructions to somebody and they begin to leave the room before you're done giving the instructions? Any of you who are parents can go ahead and say yes, but sometimes it's an employer too. Sometimes you just have employees who are like, yes, boss, and you haven't even given them the whole instruction. But kids are notorious for this. I remember my dad used to get pretty upset with us about this too, so apparently it's just a thing. And now my kids are doing this very thing. I guess on one hand, I should be appreciative that they are ready to jump the task. But the problem is, they don't even know what we've asked. My favorite thing, and it normally happens to my wife, Nicole. It doesn't as often happen to me, but she'll say, hey, go clean your room or go do this. And the moment she says, hey, Nate, he just takes off. And I love it when this happens because about 15 minutes later, he just comes back in the room and is like, I've been standing in my room for a while. What did you want me to do again? I just love that moment of, you know, you didn't hear the instruction. You missed the invitation. This happens with our kids all the time. We run off. And sometimes this happens to us when we engage the Word of God. We catch just a piece, but we didn't stay for the whole Word. We didn't really, really fully get it. I'm worried that there's people in churches all over the world today, because this is church Sunday, right? I mean, you could absolutely just not be able to stand a church, and you might find yourself in a church today because it's Christmas Sunday. And my fear is that people all over the world have heard this message but not really heard this message that says, guess what? I know you're struggling. I know you've got brokenness in your life. I know this stuff is not perfect. But born unto you this day is a Savior. Dear friends, church, this message is for you. Will you hear it? Will you fully hear it? Hear this good news that Jesus is born unto you? And then do the next response. See it. See it. Verses 10 and 11, it says that the shepherds heard it. And then verse 15 says, what did they do? Verse 15 says, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing. Every time I read that in the text, I just see that in like a different way. I feel like they looked at each other and said, let's go see this thing that just happened. That's what my brain does to the Bible. It's not really written that way, but let's go see this thing. And they rolled in there and they were surprised to find exactly what the angels had told them and to find a baby. Let's just put ourselves in the story for a second. Look, little ones in the room, have you ever seen going into a hospital or something and seeing a mommy who's just had a baby? Maybe you had a little sister or a little brother that was born. You seen that before? You seen that before? You know what you normally don't see? You don't normally roll in there and see animals in a stable. You don't normally see, you know, just mom and dad in there. There's no doctors. Normally, you don't see that. And you certainly don't see people on the waiting list coming in on the guest list are shepherds. It's just, this is an abstract thing. And just because it happened thousands of years ago, trust me, this wasn't normal. People were born with family around in places that were better housing. That's not how the Savior is born. They came to see it. Jesus says later in John chapter 12, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Have you all ever heard this expression, seeing is believing? Seeing is believing. I think probably just about all of us have heard that. You know, we live in a culture that has become really a see it culture. Just, I don't know if people will believe almost anything until they see it. We live in a world where people say fake news and all this kinds of stuff, and so we don't know what to believe sometimes. And the facts are, maybe sometimes what we read isn't true. And so we live in this very see it culture. My wife loves to do this to me. You're in two stories today, bud. I'm sorry. This has happened to you. I wasn't planning on this, but it's come to my mind. So she loves to do this thing where she says to me, you wouldn't believe what such and such has done. You wouldn't believe what I just saw. And I could be doing anything else. And just so you know, dear church, dear family, I don't really care about what's going on around me that much. I'm putting that out there. What you're doing this week, and some of you are going to have some Pinterest-style Christmases. It's going to be amazing, and it's going to blow my wife's mind. But I don't care. I don't. I want to have a good day. I want to have a good Christmas with my family. If it does not somehow reach your level, I don't care. And I'm not sure she cares, but she is interested at least to see what you did. You won't believe what such and such did. And she'll throw her phone at me. Take a look. Sure enough, there it is. I've seen it. Now I'm a believer. And my kids, oh my goodness, she'll say somebody that my kids have never met. You wouldn't believe this will be a friend from college, what such and such did. And she'll throw me the phone. And my kids are like, we got to see what such and such did. And I'm like, are you happy now? Do you recognize this person? No, you don't. Nosy butts. Seeing is believing. But we believe too now because we've seen it. We do this with movies too. We're funny. In an opposite way, we'll say, you better not tell me anything until I see that movie. Like we get crazy offended if somebody drops a new movie just came out, y'all. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But some of you are like big Star Wars fans that just dropped. And if I mention something right now, some of you would never come back to this church. Just never. That pastor's the worst. Because seeing is believing. We long to see for ourselves. Here's the question. Okay, you've heard the good news. You just listened to it. You just heard it. Luke 2, 1 through 20, you heard it. But have you seen it? I mean, have you really, really experienced it? This news is like a picture in your face, shoved in your face now. A picture of a baby born in a cradle, of a baby born in a manger. But the picture is bigger than that. Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because of Easter. I've said that a couple of times during this season. And it might seem dark to you because we're all about lights and wreaths and presents and all that fun stuff at Christmas. And Easter, in a sense, is about death. But Easter is truly about resurrection. And so we celebrate Christmas because of resurrection. Have you really experienced that? Do you understand the story goes beyond a baby born in a manger? It goes to a point where Jesus has said, I am your Savior. I have taken on your sin on the cross, yours, everyone, unto you, every single one of you. And the resurrection is yours. So their fear of death, this thing is gone. Do you see the hope in that? My prayer for you today has been, ever since I woke this morning, that you would get it, that you would experience the cradle to the cross and hear this story and not just think it's a story 2,000 years ago. No, dear friends, it is your story. It's yours. You're in it. And God has a plan for you in the midst of this. Here's the last thing, kind of the obvious thing. They hear it, they see it. Verse 17 and 18 says, when they saw it, they made known the saying. So here's the third, tell it. Hear it, see it, tell it. Hear it, experience it, see it for yourself, and then tell it. Because you know what we do with good news? This is what's crazy. I'm going to rant for just a minute, We get a little funny when it comes to the gospel. There's believers in the room. There might be different people in the room that are hearing this in a different way. But for those of you in the room who understand the gospel and believe it, sometimes you struggle with telling it. You think you've got to have some sort of magic sauce to pull that off. You've got to have the right words to say. And yet, these goofy shepherds playing out in the fields, probably not smelling great, they show up and they see a thing and they go, we got to talk about it. We just got to talk about this. And so my opinion is on this, if you've experienced the love of God, if you've seen it for yourself, you can't help but tell it. And no, it might not be perfect. You might not have a perfect eschatology and have all your doctrine figured out. But guess who cares about that? Not many people. Like 99% of people do not even know what the word eschatology even means. Most of you in the audience don't. Just so you know, it's a study of end times. Most people don't care. What they care about, what has God done for you? What does this mean? Do you love these people? That's what people care about. They care how much you love them and how much that you love God. That's what they need to know. That's what the Bible says. They made known. When something amazing happens to you, do you have the power to conceal it? I want to ask somebody a question that's bold. Hey, Riley. Can I ask you a question? If something really great happens to you, who do you tell? Like you got an A on a project or this isn't okay, but some boy likes you. Okay, that one you just need to punch that boy. But something good happens to you, what do? Who do you tell? That, are you pointing? Is that a pointer finger? You tell those people? Why would you tell those people? Do you like them? Wow. Riley, I'm sorry I did you like that. I might do it again later. Who do we tell? Who do you tell when something great happens? You get a promotion at work. Do you just keep that to yourself? I'm not telling anybody about this. This is the perfect secret. No, you go home and you tell your spouse. You tell your kids. You tell your parents. Like, wow, I did this. This just happened. Amazing things just occurred. You can't help but tell that, right? Great news happens. We live in this generation now where we are so overexposed. The moment something great happens, we can't even get home with it. We whip out a phone. Selfie. This guy got a coffee. It's the best coffee I've ever had. We can't even keep that news to ourselves. We take pictures of we just made ramen noodles, elevated. I elevated my ramen noodles, and we take a picture, and people are like, who cares? But you care, and so you tell it. You tell it. We do some crazy stuff. From one side, we'll say, I'm going on vacation. I just got engaged, and people are like, man, that makes sense. That's awesome. And then some people will say, my baby is 73 days old today, and they've taken a picture every 72 days before. And the rest of us are like, that's not how this works. That's not how this works. Like 1 year old, maybe a month. I mean, it'd be one thing every month, but some of you are offended right now. I'm sorry. Please don't take a picture of every single day of your child's birth. It's a bit much. We don't have any problem telling it. Do you get what I'm saying here? We are fantastic news reporters. We're great at it. The question is, how much does this gospel mean to you? How good of a news is it to you? Because if it's great news like a promotion or like I got engaged or I had a baby, or if it's great news like that, and I assure you it's better, but if it is, you're already good at reporting news. Will you tell it? Y'all are going some places over the next few days. You're going to see family. Some of you are traveling a great distance. I will be praying for your travels, praying for safety. But you're going places I will never go and people that I will never see. Will you tell it? Is the good news on your lips? Mark chapter 16 says, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Everyone. I want to remind you, as this passage closes, Luke chapter 2, verse 20 says, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them." Do you hear it? Do you see it? Will you tell it? Let's pray together now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that today we get to just celebrate the birth of Christ. We understand that it's a date in our calendars that is set aside for us to remember what you've done for us. But God, I pray this is an occasion that happens often, that we don't have to have a holiday to remember that, God, you took on humanity for our sake. We don't have to have a holiday to remember that, God, you are so good and you love us so much and your mercy is so grand that you said, you know, these people, they're far from me. They're struggling. They're hurting and they cannot reach me on their own. And God, you looked at that and you said, I will take it on. I will put that burden on myself. You sent your son Jesus on our behalf. That's what Christmas is all about. It's his birthday. I pray for each and every one of us in the room that this week will be about the birth of Christ, that we will remember the good news of salvation to us, and that we won't be able to help but tell it, help but be convinced by it. I pray each and every one of us in the room would experience this in a real way, perhaps in a fresh way for some, but in a real way for many. I recognize that perhaps someone came today and they've heard this news before. Yeah, the first step they've somewhat done, they've heard it, but they haven't fully heard it in a way that is personal and intimate and is for them. God, I'm prayerful that today this good news is hitting them in a certain way, in a real way. This word that it is unto you, it is unto us. I'm prayerful that perhaps someone today is ready to experience it for the first time. The Bible says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That it is by confession, it is by a move of our heart, a decision of our heart and mind. And the way we do this is with a prayer of confession here. There are many ways. It starts in the heart, starts in the mind, but you say, if we'll make a confession. I want to give someone the opportunity to pray with me. There's nothing magic about the prayer. The Holy Spirit is already moving in the heart. And so I just pray right now that this person, if you've come in here today and you're seeing the good news for the first time and you want that for yourself, I pray that you'll pray right along with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is Lord. I believe that the birth of Christ was the beginning of my salvation. That he went on to take on my sin on the cross. Not just everyone else's, mine, my personal. It was for me. I believe that today. God, I believe in the resurrection. God, I believe that you raised Jesus from death, and that gives me great hope. That I don't have to fear sin anymore. I don't have to fear my hurts and my hang-ups and my brokenness. I don't have to fear that. I don't have to fear death. Because God, I know you have a plan for me, an eternal life plan for me. God, I believe that today. Would you now come in and make me what you desire for me to be? As your word said, you were there knitting me in my mother's womb. You have a great plan for me. And I've kind of been walking my own road. God, I pray now you would light my feet, light the steps, be a lamp unto my path. God, just guide me. I want to live for you now. We all pray that last part of that prayer. Would you guide us? Would you help each and every one of us in this room who have seen it, who have heard it? Would you help us to be ambassadors of this news, that we would be lights to telling it, that this is such great news. I pray you just put that at the forefront of our minds this week and hereafter, Lord, that the good news of salvation would be in the front of our minds and not hidden somewhere, so that it'll be right there on the tip of our tongue to tell. We love you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.